And welcome back. It's the Live Fire Media Show, episode number 22, I think.
Ish.
I may have labeled some wrong when I was downloading files from last week, but whatever. We're here. We're talking about guns, gear, games, movies, and so much more. Your hosts tonight are the always entertaining and sometimes FUD, Hunter Elliott of Rainshot.com. I'm Kawaka47, a.k.a. Dave from High Point. And tonight, we're joined by our buddy, Larry Case of Guns and Cornbread. What's up, everybody?
Let me start off real quick. Right. And Larry's reading my mind. You use the word buddy. Could we say colleague, acquaintance?
Acquaintance.
Yeah. I love you, Larry.
Sure.
Oh, I love you too, Hunter, but only in air.
Well, I'll take what I can get, sugar.
I like my little animated logo. Isn't that cool?
Do you want me to be honest, or you want me to tell you what you want to hear?
Yeah, you can be honest.
It's amazeballs.
Oh, shut the fuck up. That wasn't honest. That was you blowing smoke up my ass. No, I spent about, I don't know, 45 minutes, an hour trying to figure that out. And then, like I said, with StreamYard, using the free version that we're using, couldn't actually use that as a video. So it's like, oh, we'll just make it a screen share. Oop, and I fucked it all up.
Yep. I think we should take another 45 minutes to talk about this.
Yeah, right. Let's not.
Yeah. Whoa. What? Come on, man. I mean, you're fucking up a free lunch here. Look at Larry Case. His damn veins out of his neck is throbbing.
Yeah, it'd be all right.
So we got a lot to get to, Dave. How much longer are you going to just fuck around?
You know, this is going just about exactly how I thought it would.
I told you.
What you got, Hunter? Oh, wait a minute. Actually, fuck you. You know what? I know I announced this before. We are officially on the Firearm Radio Network. While I can't directly upload the things because they're having some technical issues, they're still helping me upload episodes. I think we've got two or three are actually out there, which, Larry, all it is it's a huge collection of firearm podcasts.
Cool.
Yeah, so it's just more little exposure for this rinky-dink show that it is. But we've been on Apple Podcasts, we've been on YouTube and Rumble. But yeah, being on the Firearm Radio Network, that's kind of a cool thing, just because it is more firearm.
I'm sorry, Dave. Based. What was the name of that again?
Firearm Radio Network.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah. So hopefully they'll have it figured out, so I can start uploading everything myself. I don't have to do it a long format way, but it's whatever. So yeah, so we're on there. All right, Hunter, what do you got?
You know what I just noticed?
What?
I am devastatingly handsome. I mean, I look in the mirror a lot, but a lot of times I don't really pay attention. But I know you were talking. It just kind of droned out.
Interesting choice of words, devastatingly handsome.
I mean,
I think emphasis on the word devastating.
Yeah.
It's like debilitating. I mean, of course, I got my beard trimmed and I paid for it this time. But I mean, wow,
that's a trim.
Yeah, you look like a dog fresh back from the groomers. Where's a little bow in your hair?
Yeah,
oh, I got it's in my tank fur. I had my tank fur groomed.
You're disgusting.
Yeah, you think that's disgusting? You should hear what the groomer said.
No, I'd rather not. I'm good.
You want to see a piece of the shit that they got off of it?
Nope, I'm good with that too. I'm good in so many ways. I'm
If you mixed up a bunch of mustard and mayonnaise together, it's what it looked like. Hold on. I got it right here. It's in a jar.
Boy, look at the time. I just remembered I got to go.
You ain't
got I've been up late. I need to go early. So, yeah, I'm kind of done here, guys. It was great talking to you, Larry. I'll talk to you later.
Hey, you don't think I can't carry this show by myself like I do every other fucking Wednesday?
Oh, Lordy. Dang.
You wish.
Yeah.
All right. So look, I want to take advantage of this opportunity. High Point Dave Kawaka, Iron Man 47.
Ooh, yeah, I should go to Iron Man 47. That's a good one.
Oh, that is.
Yeah, go for it.
So we got Larry Case on here. I had to mail him a check for 80 cents to grace our presence. Larry Case is a renowned retired game warden.
Yeah.
And a gun rider. But but how long was you a game warden, Larry?
Just 36 years.
36 years old.
Right.
Holy shit, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not. I gotta
imagine in that time, 36 years, you spent a lot of time in the woods, right?
Couple days.
All right. So tell me, man, I know this is kind of weird, but what is some of the, like, give me an example of some of the really weird shit you saw as a game warden, right?
I would just be tickled to death, but if I may, a sidebar, I was just noticing myself how handsome I am on here.
Don't try to use my
script,
right? Look.
And when I was a game warden, when we were wearing the campaign hat, God, you talk about pretty. Oh.
Probably could get laid in woman's prison.
I should have had some pictures ready.
Or why don't you let's Photoshop one up real quick like a rabbit, Dave.
Yeah, right.
No. So I take it that you want to hear a couple game warden stories.
Yeah, yeah, man,
let's hear it.
Years, like, did you ever walk up on like a Bigfoot orgy?
Dave, I don't know if you've caught on to this yet, but our little gnomish buddy here is fascinated with Bigfoot.
I'm not gonna say I don't put stock in it, but there's enough weird things out there that I think there's some legitimacy to possibly a big thing out there.
Let me help you with that line of thinking. The reason you've never seen one, are we ready, class?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Take notes, because there ain't none.
There ain't no.
Wait a minute.
Hunter is one of the. Excuse me, I'm talking. demented individuals, of which we evidently have many now, that believe in this, you know. Oh, what was that noise over there? Hootie hoot, hootie hoot. Why, it's a Bigfoot. Jiminy crickets.
But let's be honest, though. It's not like Bigfoots have been sighted all across this country. They've been in different areas.
Right, let me stop you both real quick like a rabbit. If we're going to get into this, which is fine, we got to set some precedent.
Why?
Okay? Because I don't want our...
I thought I just said it.
I don't want our four listeners to be all fucking confused.
Oh,
if we're talking about... a gaggle of Bigfoots. Is it Bigfoots or is it Big Feet? Larry, you're the resident.
Let's rewind back to that part where Larry said there ain't none.
Right, but okay. But hypothetically speaking,
your game warden's kind of a buzzkill, man. Like, you were talking about Bigfoot, and he's just like, there ain't none.
Hunter has a thing about this, and...
Well, because I got big feet.
Whatever.
You know what they say about guys with big feet, right?
They believe in Bigfoot, and there ain't none. So,
But you've seen some weird shit, though, yeah?
Weird, probably, yes. Funny, amazing.
Give us something.
Yeah.
Once upon a time... I was the officer in Pocahontas County, West Virginia. If you look up Pocahontas County, it's a huge county. It's 100 miles from one end to the other. It's about 85% national forest and wilderness area. It's the real deal, okay? I wanted to be an officer there, you know, during my career. Put in for transfer. I lived up there, loved it. Can't see what you're showing me.
Hunter, I'll pull up. I'll do a screenshot.
There you go. Beautiful, lots of wilderness area. So, blah, blah, blah. I was down on Williams River, a beautiful trout stream. It was right before the rifle buck season, the deer season for most officers. You know, that's the big show, right?
Okay.
It's when you're your busiest, usually. It's the 2 weeks in most states that we put the most boots on the ground for hunters.
Okay.
So you're busy. There's everything going on during that time. Okay.
Hmm?
illegal hunt, illegal killing of deer, lost hunters, just all kinds of stuff, trespassing. So this guy stops me down on Williams River. I'm trying to set the precedent here. And he says, hey, right up the road here in this area, there's people at this house, and they have a bear in their house. They keep it in their house.
Oh, and like a pet. Said,
not like a guinea bear.
I had a little bit of experience with bears, okay? And I said, yeah, right, okay, I'll check on that when I get. It was at least a week because, you know, deer season. So try to get into this quick. You know, when I get a minute the next week, I run down there, go to this house, knock on the door. This poor lady, I knock on the house they said was a bear. And this poor lady comes to the door. I felt sorry for this lady from minute one. Okay. Because I was sure her husband had orchestrated all this mess. Well, here's the game warden at her door, probably the day she's been dreading. And I'm like, ma'am, excuse me, but sounds silly. Somebody said, yeah, oh, no, I don't know. Of course, she's doing one of those, you know, where they barely crack the screen door about this.
Barely.
you're looking at one eye, you know. Well, this poor lady, you know, you could tell something was up. And I'm trying to be nice. Husband's at work. I'm trying to be nice to her. And during this first exchange, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, this noise starts in this house. Okay. A lot of noise. And it sounded for the world, it was a banging trash can type noise. Okay. Imagine that, which I guess maybe there was some in the basement where our bear friend was. So later, as this story developed, and I told this story through the years to my kids when they were little, you know, they loved this story. And it really sounded like the bear, are you ready, had two trash can lids. And he was playing the cymbals. Bang, bang. I mean, and it kept getting louder, and he was getting more agitated.
He's hungry.
Yeah, we went around and around and around and around the mulberry bush talking to this poor lady. In the meantime, the guy works, she calls him. He comes home. He's mad. He's asking all, he's acting, what are you doing here? And we, blah, blah. And the longer we talk, guys can't remember all the gory details, and aren't you glad? He says, okay, by God, you want to see the bear? And he goes down to, you know, a basement door on the lower part of the house, and he opens the door. Now, this bear, they got it somewhere in the woods as a cub. And I'd say it's over a year old now. So, you know, it's not a 500-pound bear, but I bet he's over 100 pounds.
I mean, he'd bite your ass.
And, yeah. And let me tell you something. A 50-pound cub can whip you all over. That bears have no idea of their own strength. Right. They're just, it's incredible. And this thing, and he's not timid. he is running around. Bears do a bunch of body language stuff in charges and stuff. They do a stiff-legged. They stamp their feet and sling their head. You've probably seen it in movies.
Mm-hmm.
And he's doing all that. They do this wild thing. It always fascinated me. When agitated, they call it, the scientists have another name. The bear hunters called it popping their teeth. I'm not exactly sure how they make it. They're clanking them or something, but it's a loud pop, almost like a muted 22 round or something. It's wild. And he was doing that a lot. Well, about this time, a friend of mine who's a deputy in the county, he hears on the radio where I'm at. He comes down there. This is my good friend. We had all kinds of adventures, bailed me out of all kinds of crap. And he later became an officer, a game warden. And as Hunter knows, we call each other COD. That's a friendly name I call my friends and associates. This thing's running around the yard. He'll run halfway up a tree and slide back down. And the man of the house, he's loving this. You know, what are you going to do now, Mr. Game Warden?
Well, then let me ask you this, Larry.
Yeah.
Did you fucking pet the bear?
You couldn't really pet this bear.
You didn't pet him?
No. We'll get to that.
Like teddy bear.
So.
By now, I'd have been petted to some bitch.
Howard, my buddy, comes over and says, he's up close to me. He says, "Cod, what are we going to do? We can't put handcuffs on this thing." Shooting it right there in the yard would have just—it would have really been throwing gasoline on the fire.
Oh, right.
I've already called to Elkins. There's a bear biologist coming with a big old cage thing in the back of a truck.
You took his bear?
Eventually, we did. Yes.
That's bullshit.
As we say, it was illegal to possess it.
Let me ask you a question, Larry.
Yeah, I got you.
Technically speaking, this would be what my lawyer would tell you. This bear pays rent and is my tenant living in my basement.
How does the bear pay rent?
And fucking.
How does the bear pay rent?
In love.
How does the bear pay rent?
In love, motherfucker. Is your mic on?
I know in your world that's possible, Hunter, but right. In the real world, no.
Hunter lives in almost a Disney fairy tale land where like all the creatures and critters out there are. I wouldn't quite
call it Disney, but it is a special form of delusion.
All right. Let me tell you, both of you fucking chuckleheads something.
Yeah.
I had a raccoon living out here behind my house.
Oh no.
Okay. And I fed him, or it was a her.
Of course
she did. She had little raccoon kits. I fed her. I looked after her. I'd pull ticks off of her. And I went by the vet to get some medicine for it.
And they roll their eyes when you roll in. They're like, oh, fuck.
And the vet's like, you can't have a pet raccoon. And I said, lady, this fucking raccoon ain't my pet. There's somebody that comes to my house and knocks on the door and I feed it. Well, you're not supposed to do that. I said, who says? I said, any critter shows up to my house hungry, I'm going to feed the son of a bitch. Period.
So if I show up to your house hungry, you're going to feed me?
Hell yeah. So she says, well, I'm going to have to alert law enforcement. I said, oh
here we go. Here we go. Hey,
I give her my address and everything. And I said, look, don't send like one deputy. I said, you need to send a whole fucking SWAT team if you come to get my raccoon.
Here we go.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with me feeding that little female raccoon. I fed her for 5 years.
You think this is going to be one of your very most top watch sessions, Dave? Or
I don't know. He just tanked it there, that one.
Is this going to end up on the cutting room floor?
Sadly, I don't cut any of this shit, so it all comes out raw.
Yeah, like we believe in the First Amendment here, freedom of opinion.
Freedom of opinion.
Yeah. Hey, the hacker.
Everybody's got one.
Yeah, so there you go. Well, so you took the bear.
Yeah.
We I tried to make friends with the lady of the house. What?
I'm waving today's boy.
Oh, okay. And they were feeding this thing chicken. They were evidently buying huge quantities of frozen chicken.
A ton of chicken.
And we enticed him. That truck came with the big, great old big cage. It had like a sliding door on the front of it. and we're going to throw the chicken up in it. And he would get up in there. And I knew the minute he got in there and saw, hey, I'm enclosed.
Not good.
He wasn't going to like that. Okay. No. So the door is like this sliding, almost like a guillotine type thing, you know?
That's that free.
And the bear gets in there, and the lady and the biologist is up on top of the cage. Now the door's jammed.
I feel like I saw this in Jurassic
Park. I'm like, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. And I'm watching this bear, and he saw where he was at, whirled around, and here he comes. I had my hand like on his head, you know, trying to.
So you did that.
Holy shit. That
door down. Door comes down. I jerk back. I had gloves on, thankfully. This barely got me on the end.
Barely.
And everybody lived happily ever after.
So you did kind of pet him.
I fed him their chicken, yeah.
No, so fed him. You kind of pet him.
I know that wasn't weird enough for you, the bear in the house story. But
I mean, that's interesting.
So what was the bear's fate? They take it to some
rehab. If you killed that bear, you better fucking lie about it.
Do what?
If y'all killed that bear, you better lie about it and don't tell me that.
What happened to the bear?
God, that was a long time ago.
He's in a bear old folks home right now, probably playing checker.
Well, I would imagine it's probably like some kind of rehab and then re-released.
I'm having trouble hearing Dave, but the biologist hauled him off. Most of those, we have a game farm in West Virginia. You know, it's like a huge public zoo thing of native animals. And most of those kind of bears went to that. I don't know exactly, you know. That was in the middle 80s.
Shit.
So there you have it.
Well, that was a good. I mean, it wasn't like a, you know, I was trudging through the woods one night. A light rain misting across the leaves, and I heard this sound. Very odd. And as I began to investigate, using all of my game warden skills, I walked along this path and I peered open the leaves and the tall grass, and behold, in front of me
was Bigfoot.
Bigfoot orgy. And they were getting it on like Bing Bong, baby. They was nine Bigfoots.
Wow.
Just, I mean, coagulated.
Larry, it's good talking
like
to you, man.
It's like going to SHOT. It's like going to SHOT. You can't figure out why you keep putting yourself through this. Okay.
Absolutely.
I mean, do you kind of feel that way?
I do this every week I question myself why.
I'm starting to regret troubleshooting your mic problems, you fucking mook.
For anybody listening, we spent a good 20 minutes just getting Mike's situations figured out so we could actually
this thing
for you guys to listen to.
I know that you want to talk about something more interesting, so may I show you something interesting?
Is that the Ruger Super Red Hawk in 22 Hornet?
It is. A Ruger. Now that
is beautiful.
Full-blown Super Red Hawk, y'all more familiar with me than me. All of the good stuff where they beefed it up over the years. 9.5-inch barrel. I should have had my papers out here. I don't know what this thing weighs. But, honey, it's a beast. It's in. Are you ready, sports fans? 22 Hornet.
That's true.
Well, let's talk about 22 Hornet for a while. It's been around since what, the 30s? It is old. I'm so glad it's still around. It is a center fire cartridge. It always considered, you know, a varmint maybe type round. I'd like to know how many deer in West Virginia and other southeastern states have been taken with a 22 Hornet. Because if you know what you're doing, it's an F gun. This, I don't have a scope on it yet. Hunter and I were talking about it the other day. I got a little Hunter, it just left me right there. Burris handgun scope to put on it. I like to talk about Burris a little bit because they're doing some big things right now with their full field line. But is this an oddball weapon? I don't know what the true word for oddball is, but
I'm gonna throw it out there. Like the fact 22 Hornet is where I think it's kind of neat, but his revolvers are not really my forte at all. So I'm gonna say Hunter, on a scale of 1 to FUD, how FUD is this?
I'm gonna give it a 4.
Four.
Let's talk about that. What does FUD mean?
Well,
silence.
Well, I mean, you know, like you and I talked about, some people use it as a derogatory.
Is that how you take it, Dave?
Most of the time. But it's also, I don't know, derogatory, but also at some point it probably does become some level of rite of passage for some.
And all right, here we go. I got the genius.
Oh, you're asking the AI?
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
In gun culture, did you say let's hear it? All right.
No. You can read it. I'm just saying let's hear what it says.
All right. Well, it's me. Read it. This will be way better. Hey, Silas.
Oh, God.
Too late.
Oh, Lord.
It's to be straight from the horse's mouth here.
Hunter's trying to get his phone to actually tell us the AI. Here it goes. Inside joke box. Right.
You saying, Dave, when you say FUD, does that mean good or bad?
It's neither good nor bad.
So Silas, can you give me the definition of what it means to be a FUD in gun culture?
Hunter, just fucking read it.
Well, this will be easy for everybody. Use the big words.
No, it's not, because then we got to listen to the other audio.
All right. In gun culture, FUD is a slang term sometimes used insultingly. Larry, that means derogatory. For a firearms owner who is mainly interested in traditional hunting rifles and shotguns, think Elmer Fudd from the old Looney Tunes cartoons. We get that. A FUD usually focuses on sporting arms used for hunting deer, ducks, etc., often dismisses or criticizes modern tactical or semi-automatic firearms like the AR-15 and AK. Might say things like, nobody needs an AR-15, but I'll fight for my right to keep my deer rifle. Can sometimes be seen as out of touch with broader Second Amendment or gun rights, polarizing their own hunting rights over others' rights. Some folks use the term naturally just to describe an old school hunter. Others use it as a jab for people who throw modern gun owners under the bus politically. So,
sounds like it could mean many things.
It's very versatile. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you want it to be derogatory, or you want to take it as being derogatory, well, that's kind of on you. I call Hunter Foot all the time only because of his obsession with 1911s, iron sights, and his little bit of passion obsession with revolvers. I'll occasionally call him that. I'm like, FUD.
And I wear that shit as a badge of honor.
Yeah, like if it's the shit you're into, it's fine. But when you're completely resistant to something else, like a red dot on optic, I will never have a red dot on optic. I think it's stupid. That's a negative FUD. If you think it's stupid, it's a negative FUD. If you don't want to use it, that's fine. You know, I was, you know, irons, red dot, whatever you want to do, whatever you use is fine. But if you think it's dumb to use newer technology to it, that's a negative FUD.
Yeah. To be clear, and nobody cares about this, if I'm a FUD, am I an old school hunter? Maybe. Do I like the old school stuff, Model 12s? 22 Hornets and old 870s, yeah. So if that makes me a FUD, okay. But like to me, only to me, liking those things in no way, shape, or form means I'm against the newer stuff. Okay. Right. It just doesn't.
Now I love ARs. I love ARs. But I can tell you this without a doubt, lever guns are more fun.
can. Okay.
I think lever guns are more fun to shoot. You know, like Why? A lever gun. Because there's a lot more interaction with the firearm.
Yeah, true, but I think also it still comes more down to what you're actually doing with it, where it's more fun. I mean,
I'm talking about square range plinking at steel.
Okay, sure.
You know, more fun. It's you know the loading of the loading gate. You know, the wrecking of the lever. All of that makes the gun feel like it's a part of me.
I get that.
You know, I mean, I love ARs a whole lot, but you know, magazine bolt release. And then you're on it like dog on it, which is ideal for home defense, self-defense. Don't get me wrong. AR shines in a lot of ways.
Right.
But the lever gun also shines in a lot of ways. And there's room in my safe for both.
Yep.
You know, but if I'm going to go out and just and I'll go so far as to say what's even more fun is a lever gun and 22 long rifle.
The only downside I have to that is just simply you can't really top it off fast and efficiently on most, at least ones that I've seen. They're all end tube, and I like to be able to just top it off.
We're just talking about being on, like for me, you know, unlocking the tube and opening it up to expose that tubular magazine, and I drop that single round. You know what that does to me, man? Because when I was a kid, my father, like probably a lot of us, you went to the range, you had an old tubular fed 22 long rifle. Yeah. So every time, you know, I just finished my Savage Rebel review. Amazing lever gun. And every time I'd click that tubular magazine and pull that brass tube up with the little red golf tee stuck out the bottom, and you load 22 long rifle one at a time, you could hear them clink. When I'm doing that, I remember my father and I going out and shooting empty shotgun shells with a lever gun 22 or a regular semi-automatic 22. So it invokes
nostalgia.
It invokes a lot of nostalgia for me.
Yeah, that's cool. There's nothing wrong with that.
As lever guns do, or using a Model 12 that your granddad did, or you know, whatever.
1897, if you're looking for a superior shotgun.
Yeah, right. It says you. So, but again, it's connecting us with something we really liked in our past. And what the heck's wrong with that?
Nothing. Okay?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
So, yeah, we can all. So, if I'm a FUD for doing that, I'm a FUD, you know. So what?
All right. Well, let's talk. Okay. So, there's a reason that I wanted Larry to come talk on this. And he and I touched on this earlier. But I'm going to bring this up. I'm self-serving myself. Self-serving myself.
Self-serving yourself? Okay.
All right. So, Larry, hold on to your nipples. You understand what this is?
Hold on, Hunter. Let's do this.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Look. When is that ever going to end? Oh, my God. Oh, there's the muzzle.
I hear Spaceballs at the beginning. The ship just keeps going and going.
Yeah.
If you move that. Dun-dun.
Okay. Dun-dun. You mean like one of these?
Larry's got it. Larry's got it.
Oh, shit. Oh, God. Not another one.
Why don't you tell us what this is, Hunter?
All right. So, Larry Case and I'm gonna go back a little bit, Dave. If you want to tune out, do not. This is very, very educational.
Educational, my ass.
Says us.
Says so, Larry, how long ago did we embark upon this journey?
5 years?
Has it been that long?
I don't know.
Yeah, but I bet it's been so. I called Larry one day because I value Larry's opinion. I know he's an accomplished hunter. I know he's an accomplished shooter. He's an amazing writer. He's a syndicated columnist. Runs Guns and Cornbread. Larry's got good sense.
We need to talk about that Guns and Cornbread thing.
Yeah, now let's just gloss over that shit. Nobody cares.
You told me to do that, Cod.
Well, who said you can plug shit on our show? What the hell?
Yeah, I was luring you in here. I was dangling the cheese over you, you fucking rabbit. And I said, hey, Larry, I want to bring back the 220 Swift. Let's collaborate. And he goes, that's a great idea. Let's do that. And so Larry come up with the hashtag Long live the 220 Swift.
That's right.
And made a whole bunch of t-shirts we passed out at SHOT Show, I don't know, a number of years ago. And so we started
rolling at SHOT Show.
They did?
A bunch of them did.
Oh, well, I didn't.
Yeah, I'm not naming any names, but it was the bunch at the CZ booth.
Zach Hine. which is odd that you brought his name up, because he literally just texted me. He goes, "Hey man, what are you doing?" But anywho, so Larry and I embarked upon this journey together, and we were actually making traction. Eric, my buddy Eric Suarez at the time, was marketing director for Remington.
Yep.
Called me, and he goes, because I made a deal with Eric. I'm like, he was sending me 45-70s, Triple Four Marlins, all these, you know, heavy, which was fine to review. But I'm like, damn, dude, you know, cut me a little slack. Let me have something easy. And he goes, finish the Triple Four Marlin for me, Hunter. Go on Remington or Marlin's website, pick out whatever you want, and I'll send it to you. Deal. So they had, I think it was a Model 700 VSF there. And under listed calibers was, yep, you guessed it, 220 Swift. So I'm like, hey, fucker, here you go. And he's like, oh, dude.
May I throw in a sidebar?
Absolutely.
Dave, let the record show, guess who, moi, was supposed to get this gun before Hunter?
Yeah, but you know what I got?
Yeah, it's true. Me.
I got the numbers, baby.
He weaseled his way in there and got the gun. Okay, you may proceed.
Anywho, based off of that, so I did. I got the rifle. I went out MDT chassis, Leupold, Hornaday, Sierra, Timmy Triggers, thanks to Larry. They all got on board with this project. Eric Suarez calls me up one day, and he goes, hey, man, you're never going to believe this. He said, we got an order last month for 5 Swift rifles. And I'm like, 5? 5? All the publicity Larry and Case and I have done, all the Instagram, the YouTube, all of his columns, 5? And Eric's like, you don't understand. Nobody has called here in the past 10 years and even mentioned that.
Right, right.
And I'm like, oh, okay. So we're on. Yeah, you really are. However, Remington is going under. So no more factory support.
This happened, you know, only our luck, right. Dave, right before Remington goes up, I'll say goes under for good.
Okay. Oh, so it's like, which time was it going under? But
just last.
I got you.
But we started badgering my buddy at Savage, RJ, bless his heart. And it took us a couple, I think we 3 years we've been working on RJ. And it took him working on his boss and working on his boss and finally getting promoted to where he and I may be telling this wrong, but he was promoted into such a way to where he goes, okay, Hunter, now I can make this happen for y'all.
Right.
So he's like, spec out your rifle. Larry's is similar to mine, but different. He's like, spec it out. We'll send it to you. So speaking of, now Larry's ahead of me a little bit because he's got optics on his.
I say he's got glass on his. What's your problem, Hunter? What the hell? Oh, I got some night force going on there.
Oh,
nice.
Let me show you my Hubble telescope.
I was going to say, I was like, and how gargantuan is this thing?
Oh, so I talked to my buddy at Night Force. Night Force is on board. I talked to Night Force about it.
Shit.
And I'm like, hey, guys, I want to bring back the Swift, Larry Case and I. And Night Force is like, and that was an older guy. And he's like, Hunter, I love the idea. We're in. And I said, I need some glass. And he goes, oh, I'll send you some glass. And I said, I need something serious business. So, you know.
Sure, components, yeah, rings, your rail, okay. But what's the scope, though? What's your numbers? How epic is this thing? Well, I can't say. I mean, I know they make a lot of really good shit, but I can't say I could know how. Oh, it looks big.
That's what she said.
Oh shit! No, it's not what she said to you.
Yeah. So, this jewel, and I'm going to read to you the description because it's got a number of numbers that are in nomenclature, and I got this yesterday. So,
never mind. I said, put it in the private chat and I'll grab a picture. I'll share it on the screen.
Oh, can I just tell you?
Yeah.
All right. It is the ATACR.
Hold on. I got their site here. It's the ATACR.
7 to 35 by 56. F1. First focal.
Yep. Baby. Found it. Okay, here we go. Let me share this up here real quick. Share screen. Window. Bam! Here we go.
Yeah, there it is. And here she sits in my lappy. Now, if you'll scroll down and hold your breath, you can see what the MSRP is on this sumbitch.
Oh, no.
Dave.
Yeah, go for it, Larry.
May I ask you look up Burris, this full field 6 by 24 by 50?
Hang on a second, sir. Hunter, what reticle do you have? Try to get the MSRP.
I got to look.
So they got several. Holy shit.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Let me see your options. Scroll down. Get hair, baby girl.
Oh.
Is it showing it? If you scroll down just a cat hair more, a wee bit, as they say, you're not scrolling. No, you
scroll. Sorry. I was doing the window. Sorry.
Oh, second one, middle top.
This one?
Yeah, huh?
Okay, let's go.
Oh, my God, that's gorgeous.
Find a dealer. Which is this?
Oh, okay. When I look through this thing.
All right, what's MSRP on it? Just spit it out because it's not on here.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh. Well, then, fuck, I'll be back to finding a dealer.
I mean, I'll just Google it and hit shopping.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, Jelly Bean?
Let's see. That Night Force, it is not $9.99.
Oh, probably not.
Let's see. Optics Planet's got it. Let's see.
Oh, that would be a good
Holy
price.
Shit.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
$3,700. Holy
3,700 shit. Smackies.
Damn. Well, that's cool. That's pretty cool.
According to Night Force, they are at the very least equal to Leupold.
I would say that. What little experience I've had messing with them.
So this is my first foyer in the Night Force. But you know they're well regarded.
That they are.
Anywho, that came in yesterday, and then I'm going to Andrew's house. Sorry, I hate when people do a lot of product placement in their podcast. I just feel like that's really tacky.
Oh yeah, because like we're so sponsored, so what difference does it make?
I was just kidding, but I'm going to Andrew's on Saturday, so I don't have to go buy no blue Loctite, and we're gonna mount it up, bore sight it.
Larry, what are you talking? You said a Burris on yours?
What?
You said you're running a Burris on yours?
Yeah, if you can find the Burris full field, it's up to 24. What is it? 6 to 24 by 50.
Let's see. Featured products. I'm trying to rest the full fields at because that was 3 to 12.
There's a lot going on, you guys probably know, but Burris is doing, it's like the 50-year anniversary of the Foil Field. They got a whole bunch of them out with new features and everything. Really cool scopes.
Larry introduced me to the marketing guy at Burris. What's his name, Larry?
I didn't hear what you said.
I said Larry introduced me to the marketing guy at Burris. What was his name?
Our buddy at Burris.
Yeah.
Oh, he's going to kill me.
Is it 624?
Super nice guy. Super nice. Really knowledgeable. I'm going to develop a relationship with Burris myself.
Jordan. That's Jordan Egley.
Jordan, that's right. Super
Jordan Egley.
Larry, I can't talk. Did you say 6 to 20? Did you say 6 to 24?
Yes.
Okay. Share screen so you guys can see this one.
Now, there's probably three or four different options as to the reticle. There you go. I believe that's what I've got right there.
Isn't Burris, aren't they under the Steiner Beretta ownership? I think
there was Steiner, I know.
Okay, yeah. So it's Steiner Beretta, it's all the same. Big huge outfit, but that's cool. Yeah, no, they make solid stuff too. I've used their stuff early on doing three gun using their LPVOs. Yeah. Burris are solid setups. The MSRP $600. $600, Hunter. This is a little more actually attainable optic than $3,700 for the Night Force.
Just to give you another option, you need to check out those full fields. I got a couple smaller ones. Got one I figure is, 22 rifle size. I figured we need something to reach out there on a 220 Swift. So,
yeah, I think both these will get it done.
Hunter,
yes, sir.
We need what we haven't talked about yet is the gun. You need to talk 3 minutes about this gun, the Savage Model 12. What did he build for us?
So, this is a very interesting rifle because, and it's FUD to shit. It really is. Because when I went to RJ, I said, all right, fella. Now here's some factual information. Savage builds the most accurate rifle out of the box, period. Larry, disagree? Agree.
I'm sorry, I'm having trouble hearing you guys.
I am. I believe Savage builds the most accurate rifle out of the box, period.
A short story, I'd agree with that.
So I went to RJ. He's like, okay, Hunter, what do you want to do with it? I said, I want to shoot little groups at 1,000 yards. And he looks at me and he goes, well, the 220 Swift? Oh, you can't do that. And I'm like, you abso-fucking-lutely can't. I'm not stupid. And so he said, he goes, I'll build you whatever you want. And I said, what is your most accurate flagship platform? And he said, well, we do the it's the Model 12 precision LRP.
Yeah, long range precision.
Long range, and then for the smaller calibers, it's the LRPV, long range precision varmint. He said, that's our flagship bolt gun. I said, okay, let's start with that. That's our building base. And I said, I want a bench rest stock. He goes, okay, we got access to McMillan. I said, oh, it's going to be good. And I said, and their LRPV, what's cool about that is, so no magazine. And you're like, oh, well, it's a single shot. Yeah, it's a single shot. But the benefit of that is this son of a bitch is bedded from here to here, bedded. It's not. Pillar bedded, it's not glass bedded, it's bedded. The entire action is bedded in the stock. That's importante. When you omit the magazine, you gain bedding. Now, understand, this is a target rifle. This is a varmint rifle. This is not something you're going to go out and shoot, you know, 100 rounds a minute. Now, Larry's showcasing his. It's a left bolt, right eject.
I do think that's really cool.
So you see Larry's eject support. It's on the left side. And the bolt's on the right. And that is to undisturb when you're all hunkered down in the rifle and you've got that somebody's locked in, then you're just here and it's kicking it away from you. So boom, click, click. And plus,
I do that aspect of it a lot. I think it's really cool, actually.
You have a smaller ejection port. And so essentially what that does is, instead of having a rail where you see both sides, you know, like a lot of bolt guns, you just got a rail over it and you can see the bolt. This, the starboard side is completely solid. And so that makes the action a lot more sturdy. So they just cut the ejection port just big enough for the case. So you've got way more steel in the action. So fully bedded, small ejection port on one side. The bolt doesn't show. It's primo. And I told RJ, I'm like, I said, I don't give a fuck if the rifle's $5,000, RJ. I want you to not. I said, even if you suspect it's going to help it shoot better, do it. True the lugs, lap the bolt, whatever it's going to take. He goes, well, you know, what you're asking for is a custom shop rifle, Hunter. I said, make it happen. Make it happen. He said, it's going to take us, you know, 3 months to build that gun. Make it happen. Send me a bill. And I said, send Larry one too. Then he goes, well, how long do you want? And he said, how long do you want the barrel? I said, well, how long are your barrel blanks? He said, we get our barrel blanks in at 30 inches. I said, there's your answer. 30. He's like, why do you want that so much 30 inches long? I'm like, because I want to squeeze every foot per second out of that Swift.
Hilarious. Yours the same? Here, yours 30 inches as well?
Here's where some controversy comes in.
Here we go. Okay, so we got a little bit of ooey coming.
Well, not everybody thinks you got to have the longer barrel. I thought he's saying, Hunter truthfully knows more about it than me. But not everybody believes you could have that much barrel to burn the powder to get around the good of the round. You can, okay?
Dwell part, time.
Let me interrupt you, Cod, and I want you to talk. But part of this project is, you recall, we want to bring back the Swift because I don't think it should have went away in the first place. Lots of controversy there. But you, even more than me, wanted to get the speed.
Yeah.
The 220 Swift is still, get ready for all the yelling to start, is
preach
still
it.
The fastest commercial round.
Right this minute. Right now. Dave, did you get that? Right fucking now.
You see in the corner it's recording? Yeah, we got it.
I just want to make sure we're all on the right page here.
Larry, what barrel length did you opt for?
I do what?
What barrel length did you opt for?
Hunter, is yours 30?
Yep. 30 inches threaded half by 28 at the muzzle.
Hang on, Dave.
Because I thought Hunter, you'd said his was a little bit different.
His is a now
28. 28.
All right. Did you go with a 1-in-9 twist, Larry?
Yes, I went with whatever was standard for them. You had to have that oddball, or is the 1-in-9, or is mine 1-in-12? I got to go look at the box.
I don't know. So when he asked me, he said, "Hey, Hunter, what twist rate do you want? We're gonna do 1-in-14, 1-in-12." I said, no, no. Why would you do 1 in 12? That limits me to 60 grain bullets. He's like, well, what twist rate do you want? I'm like, I'm going to do a happy medium. Let's do one. Cause I could have said 1 in 7. I said 1 in 9. 1 in 9 will let me go from 77 grain to 50. I can go to 45 grain with a 1 in 9 as long as I don't go to swift velocity. If I load a 1 in 9, 45 or 50 grain bullet to a swift velocity, about 15 yards out of the muzzle, that bullet's going to go poof.
Okay, so let me ask this with my ignorance. You guys both say 220 Swift never should have gone away. Why did it?
Man, that is a good question, and I know the answer to that. Larry, do you want to comment first?
I think it's like talking about the definition of FUD. You're going to get 12 different answers. Other calibers came along and kind of, you know, sped past it on the track, if you will. The 22-250, I think, had as much.
Nope.
Are you there, Larry? You may pick up the ball. Give me a blink twice if you're in direct.
Don't blink. Wave your
hand. Oh, yeah.
I sent Zach a picture while you guys were talking. I said, we're talking about you.
And I'm texting with him.
And he goes, Larry Case has internet? I said, barely.
All right. Well, while Larry is coming to terms with the limitations of broadband in West Virginia, I will.
So, can you hear me now?
Oh, there we go.
Lost you. We got you.
I got your audio, baby. That's what counts.
That's right.
Okay. You got, I see you, I think. So may I continue?
Go for it.
When I saw the whirligig start, we were talking about what happened to the Swift. Part of the deal, and Hunter can speak a little bit about this, it got a very bad, I say, unwarranted reputation as a barrel burner. Anybody you ask about a 220 Swift, that they read one article from Jack O'Connor back in, you know, 1974. Hey,
if you want to talk about Jack O'Connor, I'm all about it because fuck that fucking fuck. He's an idiot.
Man, it's before my time. Holy shit.
Excuse me?
You heard what I said.
You will not besmirch the name of Jack O'Connor.
Oh, okay. Well, let me.
Oh.
Okay, are we still rolling, gang?
Larry, I still hear. Now it looks like Hunter like froze up. That's hilarious.
I wish he'd stay.
All I need y'all to do is just stand a fuck.
Oh, whoa. Now he's like open the camera. What the hell? He disappeared, but I didn't hear him really loud. That was weird.
I think he went to get more tequila.
Probably did. More of that mezcal.
Okay, I'm a Jack O'Connor fan. Sue me, okay? But one of the things that happened, it still has a bad reputation as a barrel burner. Right. People that don't even know enough to talk about it, in my not so humble opinion, Dave.
Sure.
They'll talk about that now, and we don't take an account of more modern metals. Barrels are different now, honey.
Yep.
We got better. Materials, we got better cleaning.
Absolutely.
On and on. And may I throw this out? How many rounds do you think you're going to have to shoot to burn a barrel out, even if they did that? How many?
More rounds, I'd say in general, whatever firearm someone has, I don't care if it's 220 Swift or not, but more rounds than most people are ever going to even fire, for that matter. I mean, I've got 223s. I have one gun that's got pushing 30,000 rounds through it. Now that's actually between two barrels. So, I mean, I could guesstimate and say 15,000 a piece, but it's probably not. It's more like 20,000 to one. And, you know, 8,000 in the other, and it's still fine. And I've shot some of a variety of cheap shit, good shit through it. So, yeah. I mean, but that's beyond average, obviously. Most people, they'll never shoot much of any of their barrels out.
Well, that's kind of what I say. In the real world, right. How many of us are actually going to shoot that many?
Right. Hunter might. He's going to try to.
You can call me a FUD. It's a round that has all kinds of history and nostalgia. Right. Hemingway, for God's sake, had a bad round with the... Actually, Robert Rurik, as you know,
that I'm talking shit about? Maybe I got my names mixed up.
Really, I didn't think you could ever do that. Robert Rurik is who you are.
I'm sorry, you're right. Yeah, Robert Rurik.
I'm sorry. I thought I was talking. He took a 220 Swift back in the day to Africa, had all kinds of bad luck with it. I will always say he must have had some really crappy bullets because
right.
We all know, let's get together here. It's bullet placement and, you know, the proper bullet, have bullet performance, what the bullet
Wait, you're saying the bullet matters? What? Come on.
Yes.
Most people forget that so bad. It very much
matters. Yeah. And this, sometime when we got 16 hours, we can talk about why people talk shit about the 6.5 Creedmoor. I've never understood that. Because
this is a 6.5 Swedish.
Well, it's whatever it is. Long live the 220 Swift. We talked a little bit, Hunter, about the gun, and maybe you could get 16 more words in there about the speed aspect.
So here's my, and I went over this today really well with my buddy at Davidson's, Eric Mueller. When the Swift come out, it was beyond what it had ever been. It was a brand new animal. And we know the two most abrasive, stimulants to a boar is heat and unburned powder. Now, there are a number of ways to mitigate that. But one way to not mitigate it is to shoot continuously. Now, a lot of folks bought Swift rifles that go prairie dog hunting, and they would just pow, pow, and they would run the gun hard. And, you know, we're talking 1940s metal. And so they would run that gun hard, they'd get it hot, and throat erosion would begin. Right. Now, that is not unique to the Swift. That would happen to any high-pressure, small-caliber cartridge. You know, the 22-250 is equally as bad, even though it's a piece of fucking shit cartridge, if treated incorrectly.
Oh, yeah. This is the most popular. Are we ready, folks? This is the most popular varmint cartridge ever was. It's a piece of shit. Okay, continue.
Developed by the same man to develop the Swift. And it's less accurate. And yeah, same man. The same man to develop this. Now, I have a struggle with his name. Philip Swift developed the 22-250. And his name was Grossefer, GROSVENOR WOTKYNS.
Have your AI say it.
Sidebar, Dave, to understand for your nomenclature book, trying to understand the mind of Hunter Elliott, because you like one cartridge, in this case a 220 Swift, that means anything roughly in the same realm is a piece of crap. Have you got my drift?
No, that's, you're on point with Hunter Elliott with that. That is absolutely on point.
Yeah, so
on point.
Nobody knows why this is. He got dropped on his head when he was young. You know, who knows?
So can we get back to the technical explanation other than what the West Virginia bandwidth allowed us to have earlier? Are you frozen or you don't know?
Anywho, I can't hear you, man.
That's probably just as well. So
yeah,
so
just as well.
Yeah. So with the advancements in understanding how to shoot high pressure, small caliber cartridges, plus the vast advancements in metallurgy and propellant. Now, you know, you should be able to get a lifespan out of a 220 Swift barrel equal to a 22-250. So, you know, you could reasonably get 3,000 to 4,000 rounds out of this barrel before you would either A, pull it out, cut the lead off, you know, or cut the end of it off and then recut the chamber or replace the barrel. Now with a Savage had this amazing idea. Instead of pressing barrels, they have a way to fit the headspace where it's a barrel and a nut. It's not in the field change, but if you take your rifle to a gunsmith and you want to change out your Savage barrel, it's infinitely easier than a Remington or a Winchester because it's not pressed in so much. And that gives it a more consistent headspace and a more consistent barrel fit. You know, and as we all know, consistency equals what, Larry? Accuracy is the word I'm hunting for, but you know, thanks for being there for me.
So I can take this all down to layman's in my mind thinking of is it's kind of like M1 Garand. You take a service M1 Garand and you're not running new ammunition through it because new ammunition is way harder than an old ass barrel from that M1 Garand because it was made in the 40s. The steel is not the same shit we'd use today. You know, so that's why you can damage the damn thing versus then now this thing. Yeah, people are saying it's a barrel burns because, yeah, the old steel from back in the day. And now, yeah, it's going to last longer. That makes sense. I get it.
You know,
the question is, how do you get this to go further, you know, with broader reach?
All right. Well, A, sidebar, as my buddy Kate says, because you pronounce M1 Garand correctly, every time you do that, it makes me want to kiss you on the mouth.
Oh, God, I'm going to start saying Garand then.
If you do, I will never let you let me be on this podcast again.
Oh, God, shut up.
So, but I appreciate you showing me the en bloc clip. Is that a 30-round clipazine?
It's a 30, yeah. Yeah, that's a 30-round clipazine. That's right.
Just so on my desk. I think that one of the biggest problems with the Swift burning barrels was ignorance of the operator. Operator valve was out of adjustment.
Right. Wait a minute. That's like half the issue with our industry with barrels, well, guns and calibers anyways.
Absolutely.
Shocker.
You know, and they had this new speed demon, this laser beam that runs off of gunpowder readily available. And then they're like, you know, chomping at the bit, foaming at the fucking mouth to put lead down range. And they're not taking into account a lot of the detriments to hard shooting.
Right.
Shoot a son of a bitch, shoot 3 or 4 or 5 shot groups, take a break, drink a Coca-Cola, eat some nabs, let it cool down. You know, call your mama, call everybody, call your mama. So that's my take.
If I may, and I will,
please.
That's a very good idea, but I'll maintain with these modern barrels and stuff. That's even what you just said, although a good idea on the range, is even less important.
I agree with that. It's not as important now as it was then.
Right.
It's like when I write a lot about the stuff with wildlife, modern wildlife, all the shit that's going on now in the West with grizzly bears and wolves. And oh, we're taking their habitat and we need to transplant them everywhere. So I have a saying, I say, you know what? It ain't 1804 anymore. We don't need wolves and grizzly bears in every state. Well, it ain't 1804 similarly in barrels, you know, the metallurgy and everything, as you well know. Hunter, need to talk about for a minute. Savage built this gun for us.
Yes, they did.
And it's coming out of their custom shop.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Okay. They're kind of getting that. Tell me when I'm wrong. They're kind of getting that revved up again. Need to talk about their custom shop for a minute.
Yeah. And I think, Larry, that's a good point. I think one of the reasons RJ committed to this project, because here's the deal, Dave. Now, Larry and I both had to buy these rifles. These are not fucking pro bonos. They're not like, here you go. Now, with that said,
Wait a minute. Did he send you a bill?
He sent you my bill.
He told me, just, hey, this is yours, buddy. Enjoy it.
Then I paid your bill. I'm in this rifle for $87.50.
You had to pay for that gun?
I didn't have to. I elected to because I support my friends' endeavors.
Okay. Big joke. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So, you know, when I was talking to RJ and I'm like, I want this barrel length. I want this twist rate. I want this chamber. He said, Hunter, we don't have any of that tooling.
Wow.
And I'm like, well, bro, you fucking told me you could build me this gun. He goes, well, I didn't know you were going to go off the rails.
Right.
You know, I thought we were going to do a 1-in-12, 1-in-14, you know, 24, 20. I'm like, no. Why are we going to do that when it's been done to death?
Right.
And RJ goes, yeah, I told you I'd build it. So, you know what? We'll eat that. We'll buy the tooling. We'll buy the chamber cutter. We'll buy the button brooch. We'll buy all that shit, man, to build two rifles.
Good God.
Right.
Okay. Sidebar, Dave.
Sidebar, Dave.
The thing he's bringing up about the button to cut the barrel for that oddball rifling he wanted, that only held things up like another 6 to 8 months.
It wasn't. That's true.
But wasn't it worth it?
He don't know yet.
Oh, I do. Oh, yeah.
The point for Savage to me is I don't think a lot of people know they even have a custom shop.
I think that's the reason. I was going to elaborate. I think that's the reason they took on this project to shine a light on what their custom shop's capable of.
Well, yeah, I'm not an expert like you, but Savage Rifles in the past several years, like, I mean, they've just been phenomenal. These moderately priced rifles out of the box that shoot, in my lingo, like a house on fire.
Yeah. Their
barrels are wonderful. The triggers, we ain't even talked about the triggers.
Oh, the triggers are fantastic.
The only two bolt actions I own are
those Savages.
You know, phenomenal. So what does that mean is going to be coming out of their custom shop? I mean, if you want anything that isn't off the rack, you know, for our rifleman buddies out there, I think they need to be looking at Savage.
And I agree. And essentially, this is what I believe to be truthful. Savage took a monetary hit to build these rifles. It cost them, I feel like Larry and I buying these guns probably didn't even cover the tooling.
Probably not.
But they're expecting, you know, hey, we'll get some press on our custom shop, you know, it'll be worth the investment. And it was kind of like Savage and Larry and I shared the initial investment of building these rifles in order to get out the content that Larry and I are going to produce. And he does, Like, he's a syndicated column writer. He's got, I think, 416,000 newspapers that buy articles from him on the regular. Yeah. Is that the number of writers?
I wish. Hey, Dave, if I was syndicated in that many papers, I wouldn't be on here talking to you
all. Oh, wow.
What the fuck?
We're just dudes hanging out. Now it's all like,
if my britches was any bigger, I'd put you in my pocket.
I got to tell you this. A long time ago, I got this guy down in North Carolina. He is about, well, he's completely crazy, but he knows a little bit about guns. He does a pretty good job on reviews and stuff. And in talking about guns, it came up one time. We said, we got to be real. What does it mean to be real? It means we're going to say however it is. If it's good, we'll say it's good. If it's bad, we'll say it's bad. So I would just be it real right now. Here for a second.
That was being real. What the fuck, Larry? Like, I'm like, oh, we're Hunter, sharing a
Hunter,
moment.
Hunter, next time you want to bring a guest on there, pal, I'm going to vet the shit out of this.
Yeah, good call. Like,
oh, fuck no.
Like, I was like, wow, we're having a moment. Larry is being amazing. And then, like, he circles back to the dick face. I mean, that's fine. It's fine. I'm not hurt.
Do you not want me to be real anymore, honey?
I do want you to be real, Dumpling, except when you talk about me, lie like a rug. It's all
roses
and daisies and pansies and smell good.
Dave, I really feel there's got to be some kind of professional help we can get him. I mean, there's got to be something.
Oh, he's on his own. I've helped him enough. He is on his own.
This dude right here that runs this fucking Mezcal distillery, he's helping. He's helping.
You know, it's funny. So,
I told you guns and alcohol don't mix.
Well,
who said that?
Depends on how you do it.
What a fun. What a fucking fun to say something like that. Who don't like to get drunk and go out there and shoot guns where there's no backstop in the air? Yeah.
Oh, my Lord. Boy, look at the time. I got to run. I got.
That's called sarcasm, Larry, but don't act like that's some great loss.
No, it's interesting looking at Savage's site, and they have their own blog. And I even did a quick search on their site for 220 Swift, and, like, nothing came up.
Nope.
You think even their blog, which grant their blog may not be read for jack shit. I don't know. I don't really care. But you'd think at that point they would still have talked about this project they did.
You know, I should text RJ right now and be like, what the fuck?
I mean, because, like, looking at their browsing their firearms by caliber, I understand 220 Swift is not there because it's not a production gun at the moment. I totally get that. But the fact that they built these guns for you guys, man, if I was that company, I'd be posting that shit in the blog. It's like, yeah, we did two one-offs of our custom shop that you may or may not know existed because there's nothing on their site that says a custom shop.
Right.
I mean,
hey,
maybe they're not ready to advertise it yet. Maybe that's why. I don't know.
Mr. Dave, I could use some help doing what you just said right there if you could see it in your heart.
What's that?
Talking about this gun.
Ooh, you want a high point to build a bolt gun at 220 Swift? Dave, get on that shit in the morning.
No.
Yeah, maybe we'll get high point to do a 220 Swift.
No.
What the fuck, man?
No. No, no, and no. Oh, hey, did you see? I'm segueing. I will fucking mute you. I'm segueing. Watch this. I'll go. Bam, look at that. I'll just mute you. Oh, Hunter can't say shit now. So, this morning, some new information dropped. What are you going to do with your phone? Oh, God, he's really going to get pouty now. What, Hunter?
Oh, I was going to call you and cuss you the fuck out.
I wouldn't answer that shit. So, unbeknownst to me.
Unbeknownst. Where the fuck did you go to school, Ohio?
Yeah, I did. So shut the fuck up. High Point decided to release their stripped AR lowers today.
You don't even know about that?
Didn't even know about it. Well, okay. No, I didn't know about it, and I only saw it. It was a minute fresh on their Instagram. So I just kind of rolled with that and posted the shit out of it everywhere else. And my God, to see people going, it's $75. I can buy two PSA lowers for $95. Like, cool. Then go buy the fucking PSAs. Fuck you. I don't give a shit. You know, do you want the logo on your for your build with the High Point logo or not? Like, fuck off, people. God.
But so, you know, I did a review on the High Point AR. And I would offer to send it to Larry to let him do a review, but I'm keeping that rifle. Are you going to bill me for it?
I don't know. That's information is not yet.
Because I'm probably not going to pay you. I'm just going to keep it.
Oh, okay.
Hey, I ought to send you a bill for my review. Because let me tell you something. There. Whoa, whoa. Hey,
look, we do this. Just go beep. Look at that, Larry. He can't talk again.
You're on your own, Dave.
Oh, wait, it's unmuted again. My bad. I got a fucking shit pile of traffic on that review, man.
Good.
I mean, like, and 98%, of course, when I say 98%, 47% of statistics are made up on the spot.
Yeah, right.
98% of the comments were very supportive of it. Especially, did I say especially?
Is that Mescal talking again?
Especially. Fucking would Anderson gone?
Yeah, that when I saw somebody was several people posted. Anderson was the poverty pony. They were calling us the poverty point. It's like, okay, that's kind of funny.
So, I was hoping we're going to talk about High Point a little bit, Dave.
Did you ever do that review on the 30 Super Carry carbine I sent you?
Dave,
that's a no.
The carbine I have, please forgive me, is a 3095.
That'd be the 30 Super Carry, yeah.
Oh, that was like 2 years ago, man. You got plenty of time. It's out of production now. You know that, right? I'm sorry.
Okay if I talk now, Hunter.
Can you give me like 6 more seconds?
Dave,
we can do this, Larry. Here you go. You can't interrupt now.
That carbine, do you not, you make, High Point makes it in a 10 millimeter. Is that right?
Yes.
Is that, we'll say, the largest caliber you produce it in?
Yes. Well, I mean, yeah, depending on how you look at it, 10 mil versus 45. 45 okay. Largest, 10 mil being most powerful, yes.
Well, this is what I've been wanting to talk to you about. I try to stay connected. I did a bunch of stuff on this whole bear defense thing, which is, it's going to become more and more what the grizzlies are doing out west. They're expanding.
Right.
You can't get them off a danger and species list. There's a whole thing about the feds took it over again. They won't let the states manage them so they can at least have a limited hunting season. It's going to continue to be a thing in the American West. And in Alaska, it's a whole nother world. I mean, I went up there with my Alaskan buddies a few years ago. They teach a bear defense course. Went through their course with them. They like 12-gauge pump guns with slugs and big bore pistols, revolvers. But as you probably know all this, the 10 millimeter has become more in vogue on the bear defense thing in the past few years.
Yeah, it's become very popular.
Yeah, and I think it's mainly on the 10 millimeter Glock. I'm not sure.
Model 20. But,
huh?
Model 20. Glock 20.
Yeah, so I just keep thinking, why wouldn't, you know, that carbine you guys make in 10 millimeter, I mean, it's 10 millimeter. A lot of people say they want that for the, I mean, you could just, you know, you could argue this all day if that's enough gun.
No, but, no. And it is, because I know Alaska has bought a shit ton of our 10 mil carbines and pistols for bear defense.
All right.
We've shipped quite a few up there. And guys out west in general who want to get into 10 millimeter, but they don't want to drop the money on a Glock yet, are buying like our JXP pistol or our 1095 carbine. It definitely is. It is known, but still probably not known well enough that, you know, we have an affordable option in 10 millimeter.
Yeah, I just toying around with the idea of doing something on that. Just curious if you had anybody get back to you where they've had a confrontation with a bear with a 10 millimeter carbine.
Not that I can recall offhand. I know we've had several come in that was with the JHP 45 pistol that dropped the bear with that in Alaska. But that was before the 10 mil handgun was even out. I can't say for certain I've had anything come back on people using those, but I know they're buying them for that. I mean, if you're saying you want one, Larry, just email me, man.
I'm sorry.
If you're saying you need a 10 mil to review, just email me.
Yeah, I did. I mean, we need to talk about it sometime. I got two buddies up there that are teaching these classes. I mean, they have a company, you know, they go and train people in that. There's a definite need and call for it. They go out to places nobody's ever heard of in Alaska. Right. Right. If you've never been up there, I was in this much of it. It is vast.
Yeah.
You know, and most of it is a long way from anywhere. And there are several big animals with big teeth up there that will chew you up if they get a chance.
Yeah.
And well sites and facilities out in the middle of nowhere, you know, where they have bear guards. You know, they have guys, that is their job.
Right.
To guard people in that. And I just thought that carbine would be a interesting thing for that.
It would. Indeed it would.
I'd like to talk to somebody, you know, that you all have sold to in Alaska for that.
Big one I can tell you is VF Grace. They're a distributor for Alaska.
Uh-huh.
They've been buying. They're the primary purchaser for Alaska, just because they buy a bunch of stuff, goes to Seattle, and they get it up there from there, because obviously it's expensive to ship to Alaska. But
right.
Yeah, VF Grace is an outfit
that
people should reach out to.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask you about that.
I know, that's cool. What's up, Hunter? Are you behaving now?
Well, yeah,
I know.
Believe it or not, I jumped onto YouTube and completely forgot I was on this podcast.
Oh, I'm so sure you did not forget. Here, watch. It's funny. I can just do this. Oh, I'm sorry. What was that, Hunter? Something to say?
You know, silent.
Oh, I'm your number one fan.
No, that means I'm going to fuck you in the nostril.
I'm good.
That's good. How we know when we've had enough, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, go ahead, Larry.
All right. So look here. Uh-oh. Now I'm not quite done.
Oh, you better be wrapping it up.
No, we got
they
10 minutes.
Said you are about done.
You're about done. Wrap it up. What you got?
Let's talk about real quick. Let's talk about precision rifle barrel break in.
Shoot it.
What? Come on, fuckface. Let's give the listeners what they want to hear, a little bit of education. Dave?
Oh, okay.
Dave's up first. Dave, how do you break in a barrel for your precision rifle?
Okay, so
the only thing
I would even tell you that I have that I would even consider a precision rifle would be a Savage. I remember. I think it's an 11-111 long range hunter in 300 Win Mag. And I acquired this rifle because I was just going to get a 308, just any 308 Savage had from a friend who was getting out of Savages many years ago. And I was going to be content getting this 308 bolt action. And the customer of Savage who was getting out of them says, no, 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 Dave, get a 3-in-1 Win Mag. Two of my bosses, they're both like, Dave, get a 3-in-1 Win Mag. I'm like, why? You can kill anything in North America with that. I'm like, but for what I need, a 308 will be just fine. They're like, no, 3-in-1 Win Mag. We're going to go to this ranch in Florida. We're going to kill hogs with that thing. I was like, all right, an Axis deer. I was like, all right, cool. I'll get it. Got some good glass for it. That was like 12, 13 years ago. And I finally shot it 4th of July, 2024. So, yeah, that's all I got.
How well is it a Savage Axis?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said Axis.
I said 11-111 long range hunter.
Oh, okay. How did it rock you in 300 Win Mag?
Not bad at all.
Oh, was it punishing?
No, it really wasn't. I mean, more than a 308, but wasn't bad at all. It's got a channel break on it, like yay long, that you can open and close. No, it wasn't bad at all. 200 yards, I was blasting the shit out of some 8-inch steel, 200 yards, like it was nothing. And I never even really zeroed the thing either. I mean, other than just a bore sight, that was it.
All right. Well, Larry, do you have an opinion on breaking in a precision rifle barrel? Because I fucking do.
Well,
no, we know you do.
You do.
Yeah.
Well, you just go ahead and enlighten us.
Well, here's what I like to do, and everybody's going to call me obsessive as fuck, which is fine. So, brand new out the box, I clean the bore. Make sure that it is free from oil and any machine chatterings. Want the bore clean. When I'm confident that bore is clean, I go out to the range and I will shoot one round and clean the rifle bore 10 times. One round, clean the bore. One round, clean the bore. Nice rifle.
There you go.
That's a nice rifle, man.
I don't know if you can see the muzzle device.
Is it for sale?
What's that?
Is that for sale?
No.
Could it be for sale?
No. I don't sell anything that I bought. If I win it, it's for game. But if I bought it, no, it doesn't go anywhere. And actually, here, I'm going to interrupt you real quick, too. This thing, this is not the original stock that was on it. It had like a rubberized, kind of like a Hogue overmold stock, almost. And a couple years ago, I pulled it out of the safe and I was messing with it. And I was like, what the hell? It's sticky. And the stock was like deteriorating.
Ooh.
Yeah. And I reached out to Savage. I just called him. And I was like, yeah, my stock is like melting. It's tacky. It's kind of falling apart. And she goes, do you have an 11-111 long range hunter? And I was like, why, yes, I do. She goes, what's your serial number? And I started rattling it off. And she goes, yep. Okay. She goes, you want a new stock for it? I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
She goes, do you have a color preference? I'm like, I'll be honest, I've never shot it. I don't care. She goes, so black? I was like, yeah, sure, black. She goes, we're out of black. I'm like, fuck. Okay, what else you got? She goes, I have this. I think it's a Realtree. I think it's Realtree Edge. Oh, no, this is Mossy Oak. I see it. It's Mossy Oak.
It's sexy.
But she goes, I have a Mossy Oak. And I was like, good enough. I don't care. If anything, I'll cry on it myself. Yeah, but they sent me a new stock for the thing. And this is how I shot it last year. Was like this.
Savage customer service is on point.
It is on point. It's good shit.
So like I was saying before I so really interrupted with the neophyte here.
Oh, here we go. It's just like, you're like this, Larry.
Don't laugh at that, Larry. So
you can laugh all you want, Larry.
10 rounds, cleaning after each round. And then when I'm confident the rifle's clean after 10 rounds, I will shoot 5 3-round groups, cleaning after every 3 rounds. And then I will shoot 5 5-shot groups, cleaning after every five-shot group. And when I'm cleaning it, I'm monitoring how quickly the lands and grooves clean up. If after the fifth five-shot group, I can run some hoppies through it in three or four patches and it cleans, then I'm probably getting close to broke in. If after the fifth five-shot group, if it's still coming out heavily green, I'll shoot five more five-shot groups. And I will continue five-shot groups until I can run, you know, and I'll dip my brass boar brush in hoppies. Now, I'm using a one-piece cleaning rod, and it is carbon fiber. It is not steel. It is not steel laminate. It is carbon fiber. I'm using a one-piece carbon fiber rod with abso-fucking-lutely a boar guide. Do not clean your precision rifle without a boar guide. If you do, fucking, then, hey, yeah.
What's a boar guide? I'm talking about cleaning. Like, seriously, I've never heard that.
Okay, so it mimics your bolt.
Ah, okay.
It goes in the rifle and locks in. But it's going to come with a number of different tips. So you can go in and lock it in your rifle, and it aligns your cleaning rod so it doesn't bow as much, and it centers the rod. But the reason I use a carbon fiber rod is if in the unlikely event it does bow and touches the rifling, it's not going to hurt anything.
It's not metal.
Yeah, that's where I went. It's not metal on metal.
Right. So even if you have an AK-47 that you fucking hate, don't use a metal cleaning rod. At least buy an aluminum cleaning rod with a plastic coating. I mean, fuck.
So what?
It cannot care.
I got all that, and that's good. What, you didn't say what kind of brush?
I use a brass brush, but I'm not opposed to a hard plastic bristle brush. Now, I may get some pushback on the brass brush, but it's a stainless steel barrel. Brass is softer than stainless steel. Mm-hmm. Under no circumstances would you use a steel or stainless steel brush. Make sure whatever metal your brush is made of, which is only going to be brass, is softer. But if you get a really hard plastic brush, this is a hard plastic bristle, I feel like, now it's going to require more passes, but I don't have a problem with that.
So, did you say through all of those cleanings, what are you putting on the brush or in the barrel? Just hoppies?
Man, I'm going to get a bunch of eye rolls, but yeah, I use either hoppies or Butch's Boarshine.
Okay.
I mean, it's old school, but I will clean it until the green is gone. You know, so hoppies or Butch's, what is that?
I don't know. Whoop ass.
Whoop ass. Whoop ass.
Extreme duty lube. Clean lube protect whoop ass. That's
what it says. Now you got to be careful. Some of that shit is caustic on metal. Now, if it dissolves copper, you know, fine. But if it's a metal, if it's caustic to metal, you got to be careful. If it says, do not leave in your bore longer than 9 seconds, don't fucking use it, period. Fuck that.
Does some of them actually say that?
There, I've looked at bore cleaners at Cabela's that was like, you know, make sure you swab your bore after 30 seconds. Do not leave any of this bore cleaner in your bore longer than 30 seconds or 60 seconds.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
Interesting. So,
which tells me stay way, way the fuck away from that. Hey, Dave, you ain't sent me my fucking knife yet, you fucking mook.
Well, you know what? You were supposed to come to more than a couple occasions where we would like physically have met up.
Yeah.
And so I had it with me those occasions, and you didn't show up.
Yeah. Well,
so you by the off chance, I'm talking, shut up. By the off chance that I randomly stopped at your house, I didn't have that knife with me because I didn't have that bag with me. So eat a bag of dicks.
Well, your events that you invite me to doesn't have the attendance to warrant a range hot presence.
Well, Larry, it's great to talk to you, man. I'm glad you joined us this evening. And Yeah.
Okay. So, well, it's past my bedtime.
Yep. I got no closing remarks. Hunter, you got anything? Of course you do. We don't care. Seriously, Larry, thank you for joining us, man. It was cool having you.
I very much appreciate being here. Hope you'll have me back sometime. There's only about 3 million other things we could talk about, Hunter. And Hunter told me to do this.
Well, the two of you ever said it.
I would ask people, please, if you could see it in your heart, to visit www.gunsandcornbread.com. You might
fantastic see something. Blog. Good
it'll
blog.
Be, maybe it'll be in the, it'll be in the description.
Something there you like, and maybe not.
Larry is a very accomplished writer. He's a good writer. He's good by hunting. He contributes to Range Hot often, which I appreciate.
We talked the other day there, Cod. You didn't put something on there for me, did you?
No. So we were going to do, I was going to publish the High Point HB15 review on Guns and Cornbread the night of our podcast last Wednesday, and we could talk about it. However, the podcast didn't happen, and I'm going to be straight with you. I completely slipped my mind. But I will. You know what? When we're done with this, Larry, I'll jump on and log into Guns and Cornbread.
Okay.
And I'll post it immediately.
Dave, if you believe that, I have a little bit of land over there in Florida with not too many alligators on it. But well, thank you what, very man, much.
You and Dave. Hunter both need to get out, run your 220 Swifts, and once you've both done that, we'll get you back on here with us.
Come and talk to you.
That's right.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely, man.
I'm logging into Guns and Cornbread. Oh, you got a podcast, Larry?
Well, I did.
Well, where is it?
I don't know.
Oh, my God.
Well,
all right. Hunter, say good night, Hunter.
Good night, Hunter.
Peace, everybody.
Thanks, guys.